If you've done some gaming and you think it's sexy, come on, Thomas, let me know.
I don't know about sexy, Matthew.
If you've done some gaming, just reach out and touch me, controller. No, that sounds dodgy. Tom Matt Attack. Well, as intros go, not our best.
Well, we do bring the singing intro back every now and again, don't we?
I think that's a cause of desperation, the singing intro.
It's a real theme, the singing one.
Yeah, well, I like singing.
Yeah.
I like singing. I like doing voices as well. I don't do those on the podcast.
But I can't say...
I don't do many voices on the podcast.
...done much sexy gaming. In fact, not much gaming at all.
And neither have I. Have another done any gaming?
So this is going to be a short one.
I think it will be a short one, Thomas.
This will be a short one.
I have a feeling you're right there that we're not really going to do so much talking about gaming. I got a stutter. Sorry, I'll stop doing voices now. Yeah,
this is what we've almost, had to resort to.
It's almost as if I'm filling time.
No, not at all. There have been plenty of gaming news stories in the past week.
There has been a lot of gaming
news. And we're going to talk a little bit about them.
We are. We're going to dive into that, because heaven knows we haven't been gaming.
Matthew?
Yes. Which one, Thomas? Which of the plethora of news-related
items?
Well,
you seem quite excited about the Twitch thing, and I'm not so much because
well,
I never got into Twitch. So
it's because it's a big thing.
Tell us a bit about that.
Twitch has been bought by Amazon for nearly $1 billion.
That's a lot of money. I know that much.
That is a crazy amount of money. I'm reading the article on The Guardian here because actually, believe it or not, I couldn't find anything about it on Kotaku, which seemed a bit weird to me. But
is it breaking news, perhaps?
This happened earlier in the week, Tuesday, 26th of August. This article's dated, so I assume it happened Monday evening. It was announced. Amazon's to purchase the streaming site Twitch for almost $1 billion, a firm condemned on Monday. The acquisition sees Amazon, Gazump, and Google, who had previously all but confirmed its own acquisition of the company before baking in the last minute, reportedly due to antitrust concerns. Twitch allows gamers worldwide to film themselves. Yeah, we know what Twitch is. Apparently, there's 50 million people monthly viewing Twitch, which is why The Guardian is then saying that the revenue is all for ads, they believe, and the ability to maybe purchase things from Amazon while you're watching other people play them.
How do you feel about that? As Twitch is a concept, is it something that excites you, the ability to watch other people play games?
Personally, not really. Like, I do enough gaming in my free time anyways, let alone watching other people. Like, I like doing reviews myself and talking about games I enjoy, and I like watching other people do the same thing. Watching them play it live, I don't know. I don't really get the Let's Play phenomenon, though. Like, we've tried it ourselves, and, like, at the same time as us doing it and having a laugh playing it, I still don't like the idea of doing that live. That seems a bit weird to me because it's all a bit unscripted. It's all a bit of la-di-da. And it's someone going like, oh, look at that wall. Because they're filling time because you need to speak. I'm not really into live streaming.
You tried it once.
You're doing voices as well now.
Yes, Matthew. You tried it once when you played Knack. That was meant to be Sean Connery, but it wasn't very good.
I can't do it. There we go, Sean Connery. Well, Thomas, I did it once when I tried a bit of Knack, yes, but not many people really watched me playing Knack, and we did a bit with Titanfall.
What's that?
I fucking know. I can only say, Spain still stands,
yeah,
as Sean Connery.
Welcome to the Rock.
Yeah, that's the name of this podcast, officially. I don't know. It just seems a bit forced to me, like,
I don't mind watching you play something if I'm in the same room.
Yeah, exactly. But
just, it can be quite interesting.
Yeah, I guess it's all down to our views of ourselves, really. Like,
I wouldn't go out of my way to do it on the internet.
Yeah, but like things like Twitch plays Pokemon are different things, aren't they? Like, and obviously, you have to bear in mind that there's a lot of competitive play, things like Dota, and League of Legends and stuff, they are all generally broadcast from a competitive sense over Twitch, which is why a lot of people are watching Twitch, because they're watching these matches of very competitive, like hardcore, like professional gamers.
That way, it's like sport.
It is, almost.
I can understand that. I can imagine watching, as long as there was some commentary, a fighting game or something.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Usually there is. Usually it's done almost like ESPN, almost like you're watching football, you know? It's like, it's showing the people from various angles, doing the gaming.
I can see the potential there.
It isn't just streams, like it isn't just direct streams like we were doing. That's the very basis
like
of it.
Like main event, Tuesday night events. So someone versus someone.
But it is
Tekken. I don't know.
Mainly about gaming. So I remember all the fiasco of that couple having sex on their couch that was on the PS4 Playroom.
Yeah.
And that was due to the fact that Twitch banned the Playroom because they were like, well, it's not really a game. Like, that was their justification. They said, if you want to do a talk show or something, do it on YouTube. Like, if you want to sit around in your living room and do bugger all, then there's no point of you streaming it from the PS4. Which is kind of interesting, because we could probably still stream it through the PS4 via the Elgato, but I don't think you can do it directly off the PS4. Well, yeah, that's probably a workaround. This probably gets you banned. But
Amazon obviously have a lot of faith in Twitch and see themselves having a lot to gain.
Well, the statement from Amazon said, broadcasting and watching gameplay is a global phenomenon, and Twitch has built a platform which brings tens of millions of people who watch billions of minutes of games each month, from the internationals to breaking the world record for Mario to gaming conferences like E3. And amazingly, Twitch is only 3 years old, so I assume they've seen the rise in people watching Twitch, and obviously in staggering numbers as these channels become more popular. And I mean, like, some people are sponsored to make Twitch videos, man. Like, it is a big industry. And I think it's just something we're not really personally into. But it's very interesting. Like, they must have had, like, key market analysts looking at this and going, like, 1 billion for this is not only profit enough for us, but I guess, well, I can't even find the angle on it. Like,
they really
Facebook purchasing Oculus, I understand. Because Facebook purchasing Oculus was them saying, like, hey, 15 years, people aren't, well, not even that, like 10 years, 5 years.
It's not to have it on their...
people want to be in Facebook almost, you know? And that, I guess that's them looking at new technologies beyond Facebook.
But how about this Amazon console? Maybe this is Twitch will be integrated with the Amazon thing. What's it called?
Well, the Firebox thing they released. Yeah, but that isn't really a console, is it? Like, let's be honest, like, since that game... console was announced, and I'm using console in air quotes, and since that game from the fine folks who did Killer Instinct, whose name escapes me, since they made that game, which is essentially Defender from what I understand, then we've heard nothing of
maybe
the Firebox.
It's all bubbling under, and then Amazon, they're doing a lot to get into the games.
Maybe it is. I mean, like, I was on Amazon today, actually, and I noticed now they have a games and apps section where obviously they have their own...
Yeah, you can buy apps directly on
Android-based
Amazon,
OS thing where you can buy apps from Amazon. And, yeah, it
kind
of makes
sense. And
they
are
expanding.
Gaming is an ever-growing hobby that is...
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, it's getting to the level of things like film and other sorts of big inverted commas media, you know, like the story driven narratives are there. There's more money, there's more people making games, there's more people working on games. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we see it ourselves with the retro market going through the bloody roof now, is that people want to be seen as gamers and people want to buy games and they want to experience games in a way that isn't really possible, and games are in their own unique sphere in that you can't simply put a DVD in with a game and watch the game being played through. Like, people want to experience it on the original hardware. Like, of course, some people use, like, flash carts and stuff, but people want to experience it, and I guess that's what Twitch is for a lot of people. It's experiencing, A, like, Dota matchups that they don't have the skill or time of mastery of the game to get to, and... B, there's like unique social experiences, like Twitch plays Pokemon, like a million people playing Pokemon that couldn't happen without something like this. And it's very interesting. There was an article I was reading earlier, I was kind of stipulating that this is good for gaming and for online media in general, because if Google had bought Twitch, they would own a monopoly over YouTube and Twitch, which are the main broadcasting points for people who talk about video games. And people were saying, like, well, they'll hold a monopoly over it and then it'll be a cornered market until something else comes along. But generally, I've seen very mixed feelings about it, like, of people kind of stipulating, like, why does Amazon want them? Or, like, why did they sell to Amazon? It's just because it's business at the end of the day.
It's a big company who's getting into games. There we go. Makes sense.
To be honest, someone offers you $1 billion. Do you go, oh, no, you're all right.
Nah, you're Amazon. Exactly. We don't want your money.
Do you reckon it all came in Amazon vouchers? Like stock and Amazon vouchers?
Remember when Amazon just used to sell books?
Yeah, those are the days.
Big news from Nintendo. They're releasing download content for Mario Kart 8.
Yay!
First of all, it's already available now to download free of charge, other than Mercedes, which have been available in other territories, now available in Europe.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, it's free content. I won't turn my nose up at it. It doesn't particularly excite me. But what does excite me is the two downloadable packs Nintendo will be releasing in November and May.
Yes, May. It is a while
2015, respectively. Yeah. So 2016 would be a very long way off, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
But, these packs have a lot of value in them. They are $12 each, if my memory serves me correct.
I believe you are correct. I will double
which
check.
Which is not a lot of money for, I think, what is...
Oh, actually, no, it is $12 for the both. They are $7.99
each. Oh, it's a bundle, yes.
Or
you buy
$12
both
for
together,
the bundle.
Which you can pre-order now, apparently. Our friend Austin has done that. And with pre-orders, you get extra stuff as well. But just to go over what you're actually getting, you get so many characters. I think it's three new characters or four?
Three characters in each.
Four new vehicles. And the big thing for me, the big selling point of this is eight new courses.
Yes.
Wow. If you didn't already think there was enough, there's now more, which is going to increase the longevity of Mario Kart 8 tenfold.
16 new tracks, man. There's a fucking lot of
gameplay. 16 new tracks. And in a shock announcement, not only characters from the Mario franchise will be appearing in this content.
Surprise,
surprise. I should have seen this coming, really.
I thought it would have been the next Mario game that would have been like an all-star Nintendo
racer. Yeah, rather than adding it into the Mario Kart 8.
But as I said to you after you told me this news, it's not very surprising since they've announced the Amiibo platform of figures and they're going to need to use those figures in games other than Smash Brothers. So, of course, it makes perfect sense.
But Link and Villager from Animal Crossing.
Yep.
And other Animal Crossing characters, I think.
What? Like Tom Nook?
Nah.
Can I race as Tom Nook?
No. The other one...
Then I don't care.
In the first pack, I think you get Link and... Do you get Villager? And you get someone else from Animal Crossing.
Dry Bones?
No, Dry Bones I think maybe is in the second pack. I'm not sure specifically which one's in each pack. But there's definitely Link. There's definitely Villager. There's definitely Dry Bowser, I think.
F-Zero and Animal Crossing are coming to sort of thing. So I assume Falcon?
Falcon, I can only imagine so. We should get our facts straight before we start talking about them. But the big thing is it's happening. And oh, yes, it's Peach in cat costume and Tanuki Mario.
Yeah.
Which aren't the most exciting ones.
The first pack is Tanuki Mario, Cat Peach and Link.
Okay, and then you get
Villager Isabelle, who is the doggy lady.
It's the dog, yeah, that's the one I was trying to
secretary.
Get at.
And then Dry Bowser.
Dry Bowser.
I would have preferred Dry Bones. I'm not going to be honest.
I'm into Dry Bowser. That's pretty cool.
If you purchase both packs with a pre-order, you get Yoshi and Shy Guy right now. So actually, theoretically speaking, well,
you
get
multiple colors.
Yeah, you get eight new colors
new
for Yoshi.
Colors for that. And Shy Guy, I think he's just a color thing as well, isn't he?
Well, it says Shy Guy. Yeah. Oh, eight new colors of Yoshi and Shy Guy. Yeah. Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, just new colors.
Yeah,
but you might as well. I'll be pre-ordering it to get the extra content because I know I'm going to buy it down the line. So.
Yeah, so will I. I'll do it tomorrow, maybe.
But great news. But how do you feel about having non-Mario characters introduced into Mario Kart? Does it bother you?
Or? No, I don't really care. It kind of makes sense to me. Like I said, I was very surprised that... Because they hinted about this a couple of months back when they said that they were going to look into options for future Mario Kart games. Like the game's creator said, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, that might be cool down the line. And obviously now is that time, apparently. But... with the Amiibo figure platform, I think it's only a matter of time before we see mode updates. How long until we see, like, Samus? How long until we see something
it's
else?
Slowly morphing into a franchise like Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I guess so. And I guess that's the most sensible thing, so when you see how passionate people get over Smash Brothers. But the interesting thing to me is their visual styles aren't really
aligned
at all. I mean,
that's
these
true.
Things have come and gone for years, and they all... look very different. And I mean, even just looking at the screen shot now of Link with Yoshi and Wario in the background, he kind of looks a bit out of place, I would say. He looks very realistic, whereas they are more like cartoon characters.
That's it, isn't it? I guess it's download content, so if you don't want it, you don't have to have it. It's not like Nintendo are forcing it down your throat.
I mean, it's going to sell well regardless anyways.
Yeah.
And if anything, it is extra stuff, because I mean, it's... costumes essentially for Mario and Peach, but I mean, it's a few extra characters who would have never graced Mario Kart in a million years had they not been DLC. So I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah, and as I said, the tracks, very excited. That's definitely an Animal Crossing themed track in there, and I know there's got to be a Zelda themed track and probably an F-Zero themed track.
Oh, from the sounds of things, yeah. I just saw the thing saying F-Zero. I can't actually find
it. But there's
no
F-Zero characters. We've confirmed yet. But if there is an amiibo of Falcon, then...
there's probably going to be a Falcon at some point, yeah. I would assume so. That's the...
oh, not Octoman. I like Octoman.
No.
That's great news from Nintendo.
Yes. More news from Nintendo is that it's been announced that they're going to make a Pokemon's fighting game.
Yeah.
Pokemon's. Pokemon's fighting.
And Namco are doing it. Namco Bandai are in charge.
Yes.
And they're making it as an arcade game. And they called it Pokken.
Yes.
I guess it's Pokken, not Pokken.
I assume Pokken.
And the branding is very Tekken-esque, isn't it? The logo and the presentation.
Well, actually, like, I could see a Pokemon fighting game in kind of a Street Fighter engine, but it makes sense to go with Namco. Like, Nintendo seem to be teaming up with the old guard again, don't they? And I mean, obviously, this is probably hey, you give us Pac-Man or Smash Brothers, we'll let you make a fighting game thing that was supposed to happen with the Street Fighter stuff.
Oh, yeah. When
remember?
Gonna happen.
That's never going to happen. That in a million years, that's not going to happen with Tekken characters in a Capcom engine, because Capcom don't give a fuck about games anymore. So
no, but the thing was, it was going to be in a Namco. It was Namco. We're going to develop a game
I apologize.
Street Fighter characters and Tekken characters in a Tekken style.
Yeah. Theoretically speaking, like, taking the Street Fighter engine and dumping Tekken characters into it is probably less work than trying to figure out how the fuck Street Fighter characters would play in Tekken. So maybe they just didn't think it was worth it. I mean,
but I'd like to hear an official announcement on whether that project's dead or
not. No, it's probably just going to float on the water for a long, long time.
What we like a turd. A floater. Yes. But what we do know about is this Pokemon game. And we don't know much yet, other than we're going to have Pokemon fighting to the one-on-one fighting game setup. We saw Lucario fighting Machamp.
Machamp.
God, my Pokemon knowledge was failing me there.
Oh, Thomas.
And it begs the question, what other Pokemon are suitable for this game? Because it's not going to be everyone.
Well,
you can't imagine Pikachu.
I assume it will be most of the fighting
Pokemon. Rhyhorns. You know, Rhyhorn.
No, I wouldn't even go that far. Like, it could be cool, and I assume they will probably have the starting Pokemon in there.
Do you think... how does Venusaur punch something?
Yeah, no, I know that. But it's got Vine Whip and stuff, isn't it? Like, it could just be like a Zangief style, like...
I don't know if it's going to work like that. I think they're going to pick specific Pokemon.
I would assume it would just be the fighting Pokemon. That is my guess. I would assume you would get your Hitmonlee's, your Hitmonchamps. You'd have a Lucario. Ugh. Who cares? You'd have the various evolutions of Machoke. You may have things like Nidoking and Nidoqueen, just because they're big brawly type Pokemon. Like
Primeape.
Yeah, Mankey. Like maybe things like Sandshrew, maybe things like Magmar, just to mix it up, and Electrobuzz, just so there's characters with different things.
Yeah, there's so many Pokemon to choose from now. They could just make a game out of fighting Pokemon, because there's so many.
Yeah, they could. And in all fairness, like, I think fan favorites like Mewtwo are going to be in there. Like, I don't think there's a way you can make a Pokemon game these days without putting Mewtwo in there.
Mm-hmm. He's already been Smash Brothers. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they'll perhaps look at that. Because, I mean, like, you know, you got Jigglypuff and Pikachu in Smash Brothers.
True, true. And like, they do the stuff.
Yeah.
But that's one to keep an eye on. But at the moment, it's arcade exclusive. I don't think that's going to be for long.
I don't think that's going to be for long.
Yeah, Wii U needs some games. This yep. is this would be a big seller, I think.
I would assume so.
It's Pokemon.
Pokemon is generally liked by people. And
fighting games.
Fighting games generally have a very big audience, yeah. Mm.
I don't have a very big audience, but it's certainly a following there. And then there's people like myself who will buy new fighting games because there's not so many of them.
Yeah.
Really, compared to some other genres. And a lot of the time, we're just getting rehashes of older games. For yes. example, a new Persona Arena game is being released.
Well, I mean, you know, you've worked on the engine, like...
New characters either. I think about four or five, I think, new characters in there.
But I mean, that's just the same as every fighting game in it. I mean, like, look at Street Fighter. Look at...
Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, exactly. People, you
recently.
Know, you put a lot of time and effort into balancing these fighting engines out, and then you release it. Obviously, it's the hot thing for a couple of months, and then people move on to other stuff. And then you listen to their feedback, and then you update it this way. It's always been, I mean, even back as far as, like, Super Street Fighter on the Super Nintendo, Super Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. True.
Super Street Fighter Turbo Tournament Edition, and like
you
had
Street Fighter 3
fixes.
Had like three versions. Street Fighter 4 is testament to the quality of Street Fighter 4 as a game that it's managed to last through an entire console generation.
Yeah, that's true.
Street Fighter 5.
Street
It's only
Fiver?
A matter of time. Anyway, I want to talk about something which pissed me off last week.
Okay.
I wanted to go on PlayStation Network to buy something and I couldn't because some hackers decided they were going to take it down.
La, 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 la,
annoying.
La.
It's not funny. It's not clever. It's annoying.
Well, they think it's funny and clever, I assume. Well, they think it's more clever than funny, I think. But...
I think the particular group which hacked the network on this occasion said they were doing it to prove a point, and they've done it to several other networks to prove that they're not as safe as you might see. But, you know, you could just not do it at all. And
yeah.
Because is anything really that secure at the end of the day?
Yeah.
If you compare... Because yeah, once you give your details to a company, you're entrusting that company. You know, there's...
Exactly. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I'm a bit annoyed by it, and I mean, it's a DOS attack. It isn't like they've been hacked again. It isn't the same situation where Sony's PlayStation Network... And I mean, it just didn't happen with just Sony. I mean, like, Blizzard were also involved, and they also took down the Dota servers. Like, there were other companies affected by this. It wasn't just PlayStation.
Mm. It's kind of like them trying to show how clever they are and what they can do. I feel it's more so that than... Them trying to prove a point.
Well, you know, White Knight hackers is kind of a weird line. Because, I mean, like, White Hats try to be the people who, you know, they're generally hired as professional hackers to kind of say, like, hey, these are the holes in security systems. And they get paid to find these things with big corporations and stuff. Some people do it out of the goodness of their heart. Some people, as you say, I think it's more to say, like, ha, I took down PlayStation Network. And yeah. like, oh, well, you know, you should be really careful because if I can do this, then anyone can. And, you know, like, I understand. Like, if you're that skilled, it's kind of a challenge, I guess, to do these kind of things.
For hackers, this is what keeps them going. You know, they have to get bigger and better things to hack into. You know, it's one thing hacking Mario Kart, it's another hacking the PlayStation Network.
And I mean, like I said, it isn't just limited to PSN. It is a few things.
But that's the frustration for me, that it was PSN, and I wanted to purchase something and I couldn't.
Yeah, but I mean,
to
like,
be fair, I've actually forgotten what it was that I was going to purchase. So they probably did me a favour and saved me some money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, like, it's the day and age we live in now, isn't it? Like, we are in a time where most of our content is downloaded. And most of things we want or require are on a network. I mean, like, theoretically speaking, it's going to happen. There's going to be a point in time where all the money I've invested in Xbox Live Arcade over the last, like, what, 7-8 years is going to be for nothing. So I won't be able to play those games anymore. Like, they're just going to disappear into the ether. My Xbox is definitely going to fucking break before, like...
Because your Xbox will break.
Yes, because my Xbox will break and then I will never be able to re-download those games again. And this is why I hate digital media.
And not because, owning something physically.
No, because physical media, yes, optical discs, etc., have a shelf life.
If you've got an iPod, you're downloading music, you always know there's going to be some sort of way to access that music, don't you?
Do you?
Hmm.
How long is the agreement that we've signed with Apple saying that this version of whatever, I don't know, Genesis is... Abacab is yours. Like, I mean, theoretically speaking, there's got to be a statute of limitations on what
you've
bought.
You don't really own anything.
Well, no, you don't. I mean, obviously, they can withdraw access to those things like they do it on the App Store all the time. They release updates that kill apps, so you can't use them anymore if they disagree with Apple's terms and conditions.
Mm.
You can try and update the app and it'll delete it from your phone and then you can't re-download it because it's not on Apple's system anymore.
Yeah. Convenience is... I think possibly the main reason why we use these services. I mean, there's other factors involved in terms of maybe it's the only way to play a certain game. But for me, convenience is a big part of it. Say I want to listen to an album now, then maybe I'll purchase the album on. I very rarely purchase music over iTunes, but sometimes if I'm really in the mood for something...
Yeah, I'm the same.
But then you could just use something like Spotify, couldn't you?
You could. I do.
Which is probably a lot safer.
Well, I mean, makes more sense financially. I mean, because you can, A, you can listen to your music wherever you go, and B, you're not actually paying for it. You're paying for a service once a month, but it's not like I'm spending 15 quid on an album every time I want an album anymore, which I guess I should be, because I guess I should be supporting the artist, because... I know from first-hand experience and my brother working in the music industry that artists being on Spotify essentially isn't worth it to the people because they get paid nothing.
No.
So there is justification in not subscribing to things like Spotify. But again, I mean, that's the way the world is now. Everything, like I guess games will eventually also be this way, that people... see these things almost like people view electricity and water, like people watch films on Netflix. It's a consumable service you pay monthly for. Yeah. Like, what kind of world we're living
in?
We're
all relying on the internet.
We are.
I think we're too reliant on the internet.
We are, and I mean, if World's End has taught us anything, it's that once it all goes down, we're all fucked and we're going to return to the Stone Age. I was actually reading quite an interesting article the other day with a lady who was saying essentially, like, we're essentially androids because, like, we're relying on external brains too much now. Like, we're not, like, you know, it's easy enough to look up something if you don't know it on the internet rather than trying to find that knowledge yourself and trying to gather it in. We don't retain knowledge in the same way. Could we look something up and go, oh, that's funny, and then turn the phone off and then go back to our conversation? It's just the way it is.
Everything's too easy.
It is. Everything is too easy.
We've been trying to make life easier for ourselves for so long now. I think we've definitely got to the point where it's going to... Oh, no.
What?
It's like Wall-E. We'll be traveling... Fat blobs traveling around in little cars and not walking anywhere. Oh, dear. What are you singing?
There's that music that he's listening to in the black and white film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not just having random nonsense, I promise.
But that's a particularly scary version of the future, and it doesn't seem far off the way we're going.
This is true.
Yeah. But then, without technology like that, then a film like Wall-E could never be made.
Ha! Yeah, and that's the catch 22, I guess, that we're so reliant on technology, they're just going to destroy us, but at the same time...
Well, actually, like... I say a film with the same aesthetic as Wall-E probably couldn't be made, but you could still make Wall-E.
What, as in the robot itself?
No, you could have made it as a 2D animated film. Anyways, it's off the point!
Get back on point, Thomas. Get back on your soapbox.
Do we have any more huge news stories this week?
Huge news stories this week? No, Thomas.
You want to share with us?
Because nothing's really happening.
These have been the things that have interested us this last week in gaming.
They have.
Our little ears pricked up when we heard these things, and we thought we'd share them with you, because if you haven't already heard them, which you probably have...
maybe.
then maybe get a kick out of them too. But at least you got a chance to hear our opinions on them.
This is true. At least you got to hear us.
At least
this week.
You got to hear our opinions.
We did funny voices. We sang and we spoke nonsense. It's generally what you expect from the Tom and Matt Attack podcast.
Throw a curveball in there. It's not all news this week. I did play a game.
Oh, really?
I did play a game, and that was Super Mario 64 DS.
Wowzers, trousers.
Courtesy of Matthew Boyle. And. Yeah, that was an experience I hadn't sampled the game yet. It's been out for years since the launch of the DS, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it has. It was a launch title. I can confirm this because I bought it at launch.
And a crazy thing, really. A rather exciting idea that you can play a classic Super Mario 64 on the go.
Yes.
But not only did Nintendo port the game over rather well.
They did.
They introduced new characters in there. I was so surprised when it started off with Yoshi as opposed to Mario.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird thing.
And
right?
and then even more surprised when I found out when I had to be Mario, I just put on a hat that made me look like Mario.
Yeah.
You have to race, I think it's the second star on Mario 64 and this game, where you race a Koopa up to the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Where you've previously fought the... Bomb King.
Yes.
The Bomb King. And so he says, oh, can you find Mario for me? I'll only race Mario, I won't race you. And so you go around, you find that you kill a Goomba and steal the hat, and then, oh, the hat magically made you look just like Mario.
Yes. It's a very odd game.
That's surreal, but it's nice to know they did something different with it.
Well, to be honest, I haven't played it since it came out. Like, so I can't really remember a lot of it, but I remember you saying, like, oh, you start as Yoshi. And I was like, oh, yeah, shit, you do.
Yeah.
I think you eventually get to control Mario. Like, I'm pretty sure you do at some point.
I think you do find Mario, because this is the thing of the game. Mario, Luigi, and Wario have gone missing. They've gone into the castle to collect stars and rescue the princess, and Yoshi's gone in to try and find them.
Yes.
But meanwhile, Yoshi can turn into Mario.
He can.
Whoa. Far out. And if you ever wondered what Mario 64 might look like on a Sony PlayStation, then this is your opportunity to find out. And you appreciate how good Mario 64 actually looked for the time as well.
Yeah.
Although there is a certain charm to 32-bit graphics.
There are.
I think.
Yeah.
And everything seems to have a more pastel tone.
Yes.
In the game.
I would agree with that.
More painterly quality. And that's bold and striking, but...
But I liked it. I mean, I'm not overly fond of that game. But, like, I don't know.
Widely considered one of the greatest video games ever made.
I think it's bullshit. I still...
I think there's a good argument for that.
I probably... It
being
probably
the,
is.
One of the best.
It probably is.
It's certainly one of the most enjoyable experiences and breakthrough experiences, I think, in video gaming.
No, Tom. Let's not compare it to games like Super Mario Sunshine, which I believe broke the mold for Mario titles.
Huh.
And they've never been as good since. I loved cleaning graffiti off of walls with a flood or whatever that backpack's called.
It's flood, called flood. Yeah,
I remembered correctly. See, that's how much of an impact it made on me. Don't remember the start of Mario 64 DS.
Without Mario 64, we would not have Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Banjo-Kazooie still remains in my top five video games of all time. Mario 64 doesn't, so there we go. There's something to be said about that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to enjoy playing through it again, I think.
I preferred Yoshi's Story.
Interestingly...
That's not sarcastic.
Even though I'm playing it on 3DS, I do have an analog stick on 3DS. The control still feels a little bit off.
Yeah.
It wasn't optimized for analog, so even though you play with an analog stick, you're not getting the full...
Yeah, but there's a wonderful irony to that, experience. Right? That it was with the first analog stick the game was originally programmed, and then and now then... you're taking a step backwards.
Yeah. But actually, that is all I've played this week. And while it was an enjoyable experience, it was a short-lived experience, and I haven't spent much time with it. I've only got 2 stars, I think.
Yeah.
So that's something I'll be going back to within next week, I think.
Well, to be honest, I really haven't played that much either. I mean, I played a game called Volley Fire, which is a Japanese Game Boy game, which I will be uploading a new biographic of very, very soon. Probably by the time you hear this podcast, it may also be up. And I played a bit of Kirby's Dream Land 2, which is going to be another biographic, but for next week, because I'm going on vacation after today, as regular listeners will know. And I've also got a new game called Child War 55, which I purchased from...
What's that, Matthew?
Genki Video Games. Child War 55, sorry.
That's a funny name.
It is. It's a Japanese Game Boy exclusive, where essentially you play as a little red robot called Chavlo, and you can also transform into a ball. It's kind of weird. I haven't really got past the first level. I kind of just put it on, had a play a bit, and then I was like, oh, that's interesting. But what you're going to do is you go around a maze and you collect crystals and then you go into the next level. Mm-hmm. In a similar style to Hook, but better implemented because you get to explore this world and do other things. But it's got some interesting dynamics. Like as the robot, you can punch and you can... kind of run quite fast and hit enemies off guard and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you don't really use your robot mode much. It's actually based off of a Virtual Boy game that never came out, that the name escapes me at this moment in time. And essentially you turn into a ball and bounce things, and that's how you get around the level for the most part, is by bouncing up onto high ledges and using the physics and stuff to go up. It's actually kind of cool. I'm actually looking forward to playing a bit more of it. But, yeah, that's pretty much it for me as
That's a story for another day.
It is. I will have played it by the time I'm back on this podcast in... Well, it won't be one next week, but the week after. So, yeah, I'll let you know how it is.
I look forward to it, Matthew.
Ho, ho, ho,
And
ho,
I'll
ho.
Certainly have played some more games by that time as well.
Yeah, I'm sure I will as well. I'm going to the video game museum that the name escapes me. I remembered saying about it previously when I went to Vienna. But there's a retro gaming museum there, and it's chock-a-block with games. So I'm going to pick up some new Game Boy titles myself, because they're all relatively cheap there.
Oh,
and
Vienna.
It means nothing to me, Tom. Don't bring it up. And, yeah, I'm going to have explore around Hungary and Budapest and stuff, and maybe I'll bring someone else back. It's also your birthday, I believe, in the time I'm not you.
It is.
It is.
It is. It's my birthday on the 6th of September.
It is indeed.
I won't be... around that weekend.
You will not. You will be enjoying some bush in London.
Yes. It's in Cape Bush.
Yes. And yeah, it'll be fun. I will send some things.
I purposely avoided anything about Cape Bush.
Really?
I really want to be surprised because, you know, she's not performed in like, I think it's like 25 years.
Yeah.
She used to do a lot of dancing. She's older now. She may not be doing so much of that.
She might
who knows?
Throw her hip out if she does.
I get the impression from rumblings that I've heard it's going to be very theatrical, so I'm rather excited about
that. Babushka, 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 yeah.
She won't be wearing that.
Really?
I don't think so.
I hope
do you
not.
Want to see that?
No, I don't. Someone out there surely does. Send Tom some birthday greetings on the 6th of September, dear listeners. Actually, Tom, I had some in before this podcast, and I think we're going to give it a go. I don't know how many of you out there follow us on Twitter at TMAcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAmattAttack. But we would like questions from you. If you have any queries that you haven't asked us already on the old Twitters that you want to message to us, then please do that and we'll read them out on the show and we'll answer the questions the best we can.
Yeah, it can be anything about games.
Yes.
You want to ask? You want to ask our opinion on something? Then feel free.
Indeedy. I mean, like, I don't know.
For example,
what's your favourite sports title? We'll be blunt and say we haven't really got one. No, I'm sure we can drum up some answer for that. Blades of Steel on the NES for me, I think. Favourite sports title? Mario Golf? Mario Tennis?
You know what? I was going to say Mario Golf.
Yeah. I knew you were going to.
Mario Golf, perhaps. Or Virtua Tennis.
Yeah.
Four.
Yay! Yeah, so if you have any burning questions, such as what is our favourite sports game? What is our favourite colour?
But I'm sure you can think of better things than that. It's yellow.
Orange. And, yeah, you can get to us on at TMAcast on Twitter, or you can say hello on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAmattAttack. Yeah, that's it for this week, guys. You can listen to us in Stitcher. You can listen to us in iTunes. While you're there, why not give a cheeky rate and subscribe? And it's good night from me and good night from him, even though it's not nighttime when we're recording this, but the illusion of audio will suggest it is. Ooh.
Until we meet again.
Game on.
Game on.
Good on.